I fell by the wayside, like everyone else. I hate you, I hate you, I hate you, but I was just kidding myself. Our every moment, I started a place. Cause now that the corner lock, here were the words that I needed to say. When you hurt under the surface, like troubled water running cold. Well, time can heal, but this won't.
Good day and welcome to another episode of Rants and Confessions. My name is Lash. And in today's episode, I'll be talking to you about empathy. For a while now, this has been something, I don't know, it's been on my heart to talk about. And if you're someone I've had conversations with recently, I may or may not have mentioned empathy and how it's very important. So I decided to record an episode about this since it's been ringing in my head for so long, right? So what we're going to start with is defining what empathy is, okay? So I have a simple definition here. Basically, it is the ability to put yourself in someone else's shoes. That is simply what empathy is. Being able to put yourself in someone's shoes. And sometimes you hear a lot of people kind of require this or request, especially when something happens. Oh, why don't you just put yourself in my shoes? Why don't you see things from my perspective? And for me, I think if we're able to do this, even in our relationships, our friendships, wherever we are, it gives us some kind of, I don't know how to explain it, but I don't want to make it look like empathy is what is going to save the world. But I believe that this is what we should all do as people who are always relating with other human beings, okay? So it's basically being able to understand the reality of someone else or another person. So let's say there's this person who has been coming in late to work, right? So I mean, what we'll say is, so imagine this person tells you that the reason I've been coming late is because my mom died and I lost my wife during childbirth or something. When they sit and tell you something like this, you become your mood or your behavior towards them changes, right? And sometimes you can even feel sad for some of the words you've said about them. Sometimes because we don't know, we always tend to be a bit unkind. If we actually knew their situation, we might be a bit soft on them or have some form of grace. And this is something that empathy basically is about, right? So when we take a relationship, for instance, to a young boy in a girl, basically the foundation of a relationship or dating or getting to know each other is how much I need to know about me and how much I need to know about the person, right? So knowing about yourself, that is called maybe self-awareness. It's actually called self-awareness. Being aware of your weaknesses, your strengths, all these things. That's why when you go for interviews, they ask you that, what are some of your strengths? What are some of your weaknesses? Some people just don't care about the plenty bro. You are saying, oh, I work under pressure, I can swim from here to all those things. They just want to know how much you know about, how much aware or self-awareness do you have. So if they ask you and you say, I don't really know, it means this is not somebody who is very self-aware, right? So knowing yourself, that is self-awareness, and how much do I know or how much I need to know about you, that is having empathy, understanding the person's reality, okay? And when it comes to relationships, the tricky part is that mostly you can't always know for a fact in advance. And sometimes that is what is a bit scary about relationships, right? That it's going to turn out this way. Oftentimes, they are the indicators, the red flags, all those things, all those colors. We talk about, oh, green flag, all these things. But sometimes you might not really know for a fact that will he stay? So sometimes when you talk to some single mothers, they're like, oh, when it started, this guy didn't show any indication that it is going to be like that. So understanding this, but understanding that sometimes we always don't know for a fact, or mostly we don't even know for a fact in advance that this is what is going to happen. This should also help us in our decision or how we deal with other people, knowing that we don't know for a fact. This person here, a bad boy, a bad girl, do we actually know for a fact? You understand? So always have in mind that when you're dealing with people, sometimes you don't really know for a fact in advance, okay? And growing up, one thing I've seen, and I will use, I'll talk about some instances, my personal experience when it comes to this, is that all of us generalize. I do this, I generalize, okay? All of us also make assumptions, right? And sometimes we make mistakes about these generalizations and these assumptions. And the reason why I'm saying this, I mean, this is another generalization that all of us generalize. Men are trash. Yeah, this is a generalization. I'm making assumption that, making an assumption. Growing up, right, meaning, you know, there's something they told me. And they still tell people, oh, if you treat her like a queen, then she will be faithful and she'll be submissive to you if you show all these things. All these are assumptions. There are times it's true. There are times it's not. And we know that you can't, we look at, oh, and that boy, every Saturday day I was going to cook for him. I was going to scrub his bathhouse, all these things. Yeah, he didn't marry me. Someone will tell you, me for instance, I'm looking for, say, I tell people that my idea of a wife is someone who can help me. So the places I can't do, you do it for me. The places you can't do, I do it for you. Basically, that's the idea I have. And I can't cook, and I would want my woman to cook for me. And that is a preference I have, right? So maybe in my mind, or in conversations we have, or other women, and even their, when you're a girl, your mother tells you that knowing how to cook, you won't get married, or when you're married, it'll bring you back. It's an assumption. There are men who are not looking for women who will cook. They just want maybe somebody with big breasts and big buttocks to just follow them for fans, or somebody who is very eloquent so that they can push their dreams, or something, or someone who has money. You understand? So some of these assumptions, we all make these assumptions. And at times we make mistakes. So our would seem that if I do this for a woman, she's going to stay loyal to me. If I treat a man this way, he's going to be loyal to me. Sometimes some of these assumptions, we make mistakes. So also understanding that we all generalize, we all make assumptions. Last time in a different episode, I talked about profiling, where we see somebody with dreadlocks, oh, hey, the wee boy, yeah. Or we see somebody who is hooked on some form of drug, and because we don't know, we call it weed. This thing, I picked a taxi, right, from my office. I was going to Market Circle, and then we saw one guy, and with microphone, say when there are portals on the road, you see that there are these boys who are filling it with some clay or some sand or something, right? And then they're asking for money, and the driver told me that, oh, be careful with your phone, because some of these people, they will snatch your phone from the window because they stand very close to their vehicles. I'm like, oh okay. And he was a Rastafarian, the driver. He was Rastaman. He had some scarf and all those things. And he was saying that one of the main problem he has is that people see these boys and say it's because of weed, or they are begging for the money to go and buy weed. And for him, the driver, he smokes weed, but these people are not dependent on weed, because apparently weed is not that expensive. You can get, I think he said he buys one CD. I'm not justifying smoking or anything. I'm just telling a story. He buys one CD or two CDs and he's okay. But then there is something called Setai or something. He mentioned a couple of drugs that are relatively expensive, including cocaine or something, right? But the general assumption for anybody who is a drug addict or hooked on something is that, a wee boy, why a Rasta or a Reebok? Maybe the person is actually taking something else. So this also boils down to the fact that everyone makes assumptions, you understand? And sometimes it's a mistake, or we make mistakes. So understanding that we could be mistaken with some of these assumptions that we are making also helps you know how to deal with other people, or deal with people generally with a bit of empathy, okay? And there is this point that is very important. I remember I was having a conversation with Maud the other day, and I was telling her that as people, we deal with everyone differently, right? So sometimes we want people to do what we would like. Okay, let me rephrase. We want people to do the things we do for them. We want them to do it for us. Okay? Or sometimes the things we think we will do for them, we would want them to also do for us. But when it comes to relationships, there's nothing like one size fits all. Okay? So there are certain things that we mistake. I even talked to you about this. I talked to you about it. You never change. Oh, I did this. Thinking that if we do this, then this person also has to do this for us, or maybe this is the effect we should get from it. If you understand that people are different and we need to deal with people differently, maybe let's say in the scenario of your ex-girlfriend and your current girlfriend, right? Maybe whenever you talk to your ex-girlfriend, maybe she listens, right? Or there is a way that you do something that gives you a particular result. But you have this new girlfriend that when you do this, it doesn't necessarily generate, or it doesn't give you that result that your ex-girlfriend was given whenever you did whatever you did, right? So you tend to be like, oh no, I've been doing this, but you, no. So you are the problem. Then you start blaming the person without thinking or reminding that this is a totally different person. So people will tell you that don't bleed on me for an injury I didn't cause. So there are people that they have that experience from their old relationships and they take it into the new ones, thinking that this is a one size fits all. So for instance, we have this idea that all women like money, right? Every woman likes money. Maybe it is true. But then the opposite is what becomes a problem. Then if you have money, then it means that if all women like money, then it means that if I have money, I should be able to get any woman I want. And that is where the problems, we see some of these problems. So there are people with money that they think they should get every woman they want. May the more baby example be, but example baba can some way. So there's this girl that I went out with, right? And I think at a point, we didn't work out, right? But then someone who knew that I went out with this girl also wanted to date her, right? And this guy relatively had money than me. He was, and it's not even like a competition. This guy is rich. But apparently the girl didn't like him. And he was so shocked. He was like, now you, what does Lash have that I don't have? I mean, I have more money than him, I have this than him, but he even got to date you and me. So sometimes we have this idea that there's one solution, one thing that fits all. That, oh, they said that if you give a woman money because all women like money, like that's the assumption, she's going to stay. So a lot of people just get confused when that happens. Like a woman will tell you, and after everything I did for you, every Saturday, I will come and cook for you. I can't clean. I can't wash your things. I gave you sex. All these things. You didn't stay with me. You went to marry this person and all those things, right? Because we have this assumption that is supposed. Maybe it worked with the previous person, but it's not working with this one, and you're blaming the person for it without understanding or remembering that people are different. So we need to deal with people differently. And that even brings me to my next point of giving people what they need, okay? So there are times that mostly we tend to give the other person what we would want them to give to us, right? So let me give you an example. Let's say when something bad happens to you, right? let's say me, or yes, let me use myself as an example. Let's say I am dating a girl called Claudia, right? Let's say my girlfriend is called Claudia. And then maybe whenever Claudia goes through something bad, maybe a painful story or something that is sad or something, she would want to be consoled, or there's this form of love that she needs. She wants to be hugged, some physical form of love or comfort that she's looking for. That is how she deals with these things. So maybe whenever something bad happens, she wants that. Now, because that is how she deals with her pain or maybe bad days or something, she might tend to also want to do the same thing for me whenever I'm also sad. Okay? So because that is what she would want when she is in that position. So sometimes she tends to also think that is what I will also need when I'm in that position. And that is why it is mostly very important to have this conversation about love languages. How do you want to be loved? Maybe, I want gifts, okay? Maybe you're a girl, you want gifts or something. Probably that guy doesn't, he's Dr. Sheldon Cooper. He doesn't like gifts. So the idea that you like gifts, you know, doesn't mean that on a soldier, maybe buy the person gifts. I was having a conversation with a lady who said, apparently, so I'm coming to tell you plenty of stories. So I was with this lady when I was in Accra, and I recorded an episode about Accra, and things were bad in Accra. Okay, so I wasn't able, I didn't have money. I didn't even have money to eat, so I wasn't even getting money to buy things for her and all that. So when I came to Takoradi, and then things were relatively better than in Accra, I started sending her random gifts. Maybe I just called Doman, do this delivery. Oh, this girl sells dress. Oh, I'm buying one for this girl. All these things, right? But according to her, that is not what she needed. All she wanted was, call me. Let's talk every day. That's what I want. I want the communication. It's not a gift that I need. You understand? So, sometimes we think that we do a whole lot of assumptions. And instead of knowing the person, we do for them what we think or what we would have wanted or what we want to be done for us. So there's this question that people tend to ask, that when something bad happens, how do you want me to deal with it? Do you want me to give you space, or do you want me to console you? And I've seen this being asked on Twitter a lot. And from most of the answers, a lot of women were saying, give me space, but console me too. I don't know. It was a bit confusing. So I asked myself the same question. Generally, I think what I want when something bad happens is I want to be left alone. I want to deal with it. And how I deal with it, maybe I'll just talk to my boys. Maybe we have a conversation for, say, a few hours. And by the time the conversation is over, I'll be okay with whatever has happened, right? It's not like it's magically going to go away, but I will have a better way to deal with it. So what happened yesterday? So something happened yesterday. A friend, I have this friend. She's done a lot for me. Her mom, she lost her mom, I think, yesterday or the day before yesterday. And she posted it on her status. So I went to ask her, what's up? What's going on? Is everything okay? You've posted your mom with this broken heart emoji. And she told me that she lost her mom. And it really shocked me a lot, right? Because this was the person I was telling her, I was making jokes as if her mom was my sugar mommy. Oh, yesterday I even had a conversation with your mom. Oh, your mom called me 3 nights. So it was a lot of emotions, right? So what I did was I told her that I'm speechless and I don't know what to say. I was actually very speechless. And then the first thing that came to mind was to give her space, because that is how I would have dealt with something like that. So I told her, I didn't tell her, I'm giving you space or anything. I told her that, you know what, I will just be checking up on you, but you just be okay. And I didn't continue that conversation, right? Because for me, that is how I would have wanted whoever I am with to handle it. I didn't want to ask, what happened? Was she sick? Sorry, God knows, but like I
that is not what I wanted, so, or what I would have wanted for myself, so I didn't do that for her too. But maybe, maybe that is what she would have wanted. She would have wanted some form of some words of encouragement and all that. And knowing that as a person would always make you a better father, a better friend, a better wife, be a better boyfriend or a better girlfriend. Understanding what the next person needs and giving them what they need, not what you would have wanted or what you need. Okay. So the next thing, the next point that I will talk about is basically, so then how do we get to know what our partners want, or what our friends want, or what our colleagues want, even in the office? How do I know this? The first thing is, we have to observe them. Maybe when they are with you, or when they are not with you, how they relate with other people, okay? They would have mentioned it maybe in a way. Maybe sometimes when you're watching a movie, and I get this a lot, sometimes when you're watching a movie, and maybe girl no movie anymore, no, we can cheat another baby. Nah, boy, you know, badge in the back. Sometimes I feel like, hey, no, badge in the back. I mean, I'm coming, yo, you know. And if you're a woman with me, you know that this boy, Asemiya Wakin, or should I say, BB is gonna make it, she's on Gemma back. He didn't tell me directly that this is this, but sometimes observing people, you see certain things that they, how they want their things or how they generally behave. Also, ask questions. Every day, there's something that I was telling my ex-girlfriend, that talk to me about stuff, ask questions. Like, you shouldn't, for us as students, or when we were in school, we thought that asking questions makes us look like we are dumb and we don't understand what's going on. And that's a problem we're even having in our office, that when clients tell our developers, do this, they don't ask any questions. They say, yes, I'm going to do it. They go and they see that it's difficult, and they are not able to deliver. Then it makes them look like they are not good enough. But maybe if they ask a couple of questions, they would have found a solution. There's this TikTok video of a guy interviewing Elon Musk, where I think he was talking about some thermal cooling, something they are doing for their rockets. And the guy asked Elon Musk a question. And he was like, oh, actually, we've never talked about that. And that's something we need to fix. And then later on, he came and Elon has fixed that. And he was like, yeah, thank you for the suggestion or the question you asked that. So sometimes when we ask certain questions, it makes us get to know the person. So me, this whole idea of asking, sometimes I ask a woman, how do you want me to love you? How do you want to be loved? And the answer I get is, I'm in a main can show so that you pretend. Why should I tell you that this is what I want so that you pretend that this is... Maybe that is how other people behave, or how other people accept it. But for me, I feel like, honestly, it's a bit childish. Because how do I know you if you're not having a conversation where you're telling me these things? Understand, I want you to ask questions, be verbal about it. Lash, so what makes you happy? Probably you're not going to get an answer. Maybe, I don't know, honestly, I don't know. You understand? But at least ask. When you ask certain questions, it makes people realize even certain things about themselves or about you. Maybe them kill be some questions, some too much, or you understand. So always ask questions and be ready to change. It is very important. If you are, I will know, yankede, he did the injuju uchensin. As a man, he did the injuju uchensin. In this year, now we get an abafa, we get an ekochuchu mamo. But you are with this amazing woman that maybe you are dating her, or you are trying to talking stage her. And then the girl told you that she likes a man who cleans up after himself, right? And so on, made a major man, like, one can't judge directly, maybe, you know, say, oh yeah, me, I like the man who cleans up after himself. Maybe when he comes from work, he puts his shirt away, his shoes away and everything. But probably in your past relationship, the woman was doing all these for you, right? So now that you've met this person, you've asked questions, and then the person has told you this, also be ready to change. Don't say, or something. Be ready to change, okay? And then there's this example where, let's say, for instance, some woman will tell you, me, I don't know how to ask for help when I need it, right? I don't know how to ask for help when I need it. So if you're dating a man who also has the idea that if you need something, ask me, right? Ask me. So you as a woman, you let's say both of you haven't changed. You already know that, oh, this is how she is, this is how this guy is. And I've seen that this woman or my girlie, the girl is expecting that, like me as a man, I've seen that she's suffering or she's struggling with whatever she's doing. I will come to her aid. And me too, what I know is that probably she doesn't need help. And because maybe I saw it in these gym videos that the girls were posting on Twitter and things, shaming men that men should mind their business, you are invading my personal space, all those nonsense that is going on, right? So I'm also waiting for you to ask for help when you need it. So Ebashana, the girl is disappointed and blaming the man for not helping when he saw that she was in trouble. And the man is also saying, also confused. If you were actually struggling, why didn't you ask for help? So when people communicate and tell you how they want to be loved or how they like their things or the things they don't like, we should also try and change or do it for them as they want it to be done for them, okay? And the last thing that, maybe the last few things that I want to talk about, then I wrap this up, is there's something that I was also having a conversation with Maud, and I talked about this, that as people, mostly we have a set of rules that we use to judge ourselves and our actions, and a different set of rules that we use to judge the actions of other people. So for instance, I use this example. Sometimes your friends will invite you for something. Oh, Lash, Brenna, Yankwahade, on Saturday, let's go and do this. 7 a.m., we are going to this place to have breakfast, right? Maybe, sorry for the noise. Maybe I'm in my mother. I didn't wake up early. So the 7, no, instead of me saying, oh, I'm sorry, then, oh, I can't come and stress myself. Oh, life, you see, people post these quotes where somebody is in bed and saying, oh, I'm on my way coming, all these things, right? And then we laugh about it. But I'm sure we're not going to laugh about it when we are on the receiving end. So for us, for our behavior, we mostly see our behavior as contextual, right? This is not who I am. Something happened. We have a lot of excuses or reasons to give ourselves. But when it is done to us, we tend to identify the person as, this is how the person is. So sometimes this is like the trait of the person, right? But when it comes to us, it's more like the trait of the situation. Oh, I came late because of this. There was traffic in town and all this. But when it comes to the next person, we are more like, oh, how Debia elite? How the way Debia, this is who you are. You're a late comer. And that is we not having empathy, we not understanding the reality of the person, because we are making excuses for ourselves, and then we are blaming the other person for the things we're more like, it's called a totalistic thinking or something. I'll quickly talk about that one too. And then there's this thing that is more like a filter, right? So for instance, we tend to look for what we expect to see. Mostly that is what it is. We tend to look for what we expect to see. So sometimes it becomes this filter. So if we say, hey, this girl, you don't really care about me, or you this boy, you don't really care about me, and that's the thing, like the totalistic thinking, you never do this, you never I keep mentioning it, so let me just say, the totalistic thinking is like using things like always and never. Hey, you are always late. Hey, you never care about me. When you tell someone, hey, you never care about me, chances are he or she is going to give you an instance where they actually cared for you or cared about you, or an instance where they were never late. Okay. And we tend to do this. We tend to state these things as a fact. Like, this is the truth. You are always late. You are never thinking about me. You never care about me. And I think that in my past relationship, my ex used to tell me that there was something like that. Okay, I was always telling her to talk, right? Whenever there's something, she should talk. And she was like, "And you never listen when I talk, or something, or you never, you understand." which I also give her an example that this is not true. This is an instance where I listened, or you understand. So we shouldn't, people are not always good or always bad. I think this is what I learned this from Jordan Peterson, where he was saying people are not either good or bad. People are both good and bad. We are capable of doing good and bad. So telling someone that you never do good, they are probably going to tell you some instances of when they did good for you, and then they are going to feel disappointed that, but maybe in that moment, this is, you are sharing your experience. So we should really stay away from using or being like that whole idea of totalistic thinking, you always never think, right? So like I was saying about this, if you are saying, oh, this person doesn't care, it becomes more of a filter for our perception, right? We tend to start looking for, the person could care for you, but because you have this idea in your mind that this person doesn't care, it is so difficult to see all the times that they cared for you. You end up always looking for, like, it becomes a filter. You're looking for that, you don't see the times they did good for you. You're always seeing or amplifying the times that they are wrong or they did something wrong, okay? And what it becomes is we start looking for evidences that will confirm or justify this thing. Now, for instance, we see people looking for posting quotes. Like, a girl or a boy will go and do something, but let's say a guy will cheat on you, right? And you go and look for quotes. Let's say you people had this conversation about cheating. Oh, you cheated on me, then. What will he do? You go and look for a quote saying, cheating is wired in the DNA of, you understand? So when you have this perception, it becomes a filter. You start looking for things to justify it. When you say, this, let's say, for instance, you say this guy is always harsh and he's always shouting. Whenever he's talking slow, like cool, he's not shouting or he's not being harsh, you create excuse for it. Oh no, it's because of this. It's because of this. But as soon as he shouts, let's say it is even warranted, maybe somebody is bullying him and he shouts, oh, inside, I said, yo, this boy, that is how he is. He is always shouting. He's never quiet. You understand? That is what we become. We start looking for things to justify it. And then the things that suggest the opposite, that the person is not like that, we tend to throw it away. Okay? We tend to throw it away. So then, wrapping up, let me just give you, how do we learn to be more empathetic, or we develop empathy for the next person we are? The first thing is, don't make assumptions. Okay? I know it's difficult, but try as much as possible not to make assumptions. Okay? And also correct your mistakes. If you make a mistake, correct it. Be accountable. Oh, I'm sorry for this and I'm going to change. Okay? Correct your mistakes. Be curious and ask questions. This is very important. Ask questions. It might feel like it is dumb. Maybe for me, when I was, this is something that I think it was a mistake from my part. When I was with my ex-girlfriend, I was telling her a lot that she asks obvious questions, right? And some of the questions she was asking were unnecessary. I mean, in hindsight, I could see how that could discourage her from asking questions, because as Samuel Baby Simple, lash, you're necessary. And from my point to some of the questions, I felt like she should know. And that was the assumption from my part. And this is something that I didn't really handle properly, you understand? So ask questions and create the room or the environment where people feel okay to ask questions, okay? Thank you very much. And then I think in the next episode, I'll also talk about something about this. There's this masterclass I'm taking from Esther Perel, and I'm learning a lot about myself and about how to treat people and all that. So thank you very much for listening. I know it's more than the 30 minutes mark, but yeah, catch you in another episode very soon. All right, my name is Lash and this is Rants and Confessions. You can make you feel so aflayer, so before you go, was never the right time.